You're listening to audio from Grace Church, Miami. May you be challenged and encouraged by this message, having the affections of your heart stirred towards greater love and understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit gracechurch.miami.
I had a chance to say at the beginning, for those of you who I didn't get a chance to greet, I'm just so glad to see all of you here. Some of you are family who have come in from Peru. Others are friends who are here from Mexico. My own son is back from college in Nashville. Christmas is a special time. Noche Buena, what's happening later tonight, is filled with memories. Perhaps you have traditions that you enjoy this time of year. One tradition that I enjoy, acknowledging with or without my own family, is to watch Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2. Admittedly, I will enjoy that year after year. As if the first movie was not good enough, with all of the antics and the shenanigans of the boy stuck in the house by himself. We'll set aside what bad parents those are that could send on Mr. Kid. Home Alone 2 delivered as well. Just a different scene in New York. Not all movies that were great the first time were meant to have sequels. You can perhaps think of some that come to your mind. Dumb and Dumber was hilarious the first time. Not sure we needed the second one. There were movies like Independence Day. We got saved from the aliens, and yet we needed to do it again, apparently. There's Speed. There's Last of the Mohicans. Just kidding. We didn't find any more Mohicans. There's no more second version of that one. There are some plot lines that just, it's a one and done. As remarkable as the story of Christmas that it is, there's a sequel. The first advent, the first arrival, the first coming of the highly anticipated Son of God, as unbelievable it is, there's another chapter. We would be wrong to be so caught up in and so content with the first coming that we miss the significance of his second coming. For as these two are linked together, the rest of the story is told. And unlike your opinion of what you thought, maybe for those of you who saw it, Dune 1 and Dune 2, and how satisfied you were at the second one, friends, let me assure you, every Christian will be greatly satisfied and hearts fulfilled at the second coming of Christ. If you consider the first coming, as Trevor so helpfully explained to us, using Luke chapter 1 and 2 to sort of ground us in the text, I'm captivated by what one preacher of old from the 1800s in another city, not in our country and not in South or Central America, but across the pond, if you will, in England, specifically the city of London, once said. As he reflected on the first coming of Christ, he said the following: incarnation of God, infinite and an infant, eternal and yet born of a woman, supporting the universe and yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms, heir of all things and yet the carpenter's despised son. God became human. The invisible became visible. The untouchable became touchable. Eternal life experienced temporal death. The transcendent one descended and drew near. The unlimited became limited. The infinite became finite. The loved became the hated. The exalted was humbled. Glory was subjected to shame. Fame turned to obscurity, from a throne to a cross, from ruler to being ruled, from power to weakness. All for us. The story seems so incredible, it's hard to imagine a sequel that could match that. And yet, that is exactly what God's word says. The promise that was made of his first coming is the same accuracy, the same trustworthiness of his second coming. Christmas, as we saw in that video, is a part of the already, not yet, still to come. I'm reminded of what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 9. Speaking of Jesus' first coming, it says in chapter 9, verse 26, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Christ, verse 28, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Friends, we would be wrong, as Trevor so helpfully said, to think of Christmas as only a story of the beginning of the life of Christ in human flesh and to divorce that from the rest of his life. Admittedly, many people are okay with the baby staying in the manger. It's when he becomes the savior of not only the world at large, but the need for themselves to be saved, at which the story of Christmas becomes uncomfortable. And so we would say in the story of his first coming, finish the story, go from the manger to the cross, and then see the tomb empty 3 days later, having resurrected, having paid the price of sin. But friends, that's only the first part of the story. The second part to come. Hence why we sang what we just sung. O come Emmanuel. As you have done, would you yet still do again? And that's exactly the promise that he has made. That's exactly the claim that the scriptures make. Jesus will return yet again. His return will be personal, visible, and physical. He will be in his body, in the body that he was crucified, raised, and glorified in. He will come for the salvation of his people. Think of even how Paul, who speaks of it in Philippians 2, would later say in Philippians chapter 3, encouraging those Christians, says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Friends, for those of you who have put your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, while we participate in family events, while as much as we're able to in the different countries by which we reside and participate in the citizenship process of elections and citizen engagement, while we're meaningfully connected to our places of occupation and vocation, those things are temporary. For even we know ourselves as we read the headlines, and even from the headlines to our hearts, do we see that this world is still not yet perfect. Not only do we see that, so does God. And he promises to send his son to do, as Paul would say to a crowd even bigger than seated here tonight in Acts 17, that God will send his son to judge the world according to his son's righteousness. Oh, depending on where you are in relationship to Christ, that's good news or bad news. For no one present in the past or any time in the future until he comes back can claim the righteousness of Christ by accomplishment. So we can be forgiven of our sins through faith in the Son, or we can receive what he has clearly, rightly promised to be, which is just. Grace is not to turn a blind eye towards justice. Grace is to provide a way out of justice without compromising justice. That's why the Son dies on the cross for sin he never committed, because he is just and the justifier for those who would believe. And here we see The reality of what's coming in his second return is either the final fulfillment of the blessed hope of every Christian, as Paul says in Titus, or the greatest disaster in all of human history for everyone else. This is why even something like the Lord's Supper, participated in with Christians around the world, sits right at the epicenter of this point in history. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11, we take in remembrance of him until he comes again. That's what happens. Tonight is a night of remembrance. It's not just simply the songs we sing. It's not simply the traditions that we enjoy. It's not simply the family we're with. It's remembering what he has done and what he will do. I'm so glad to see you here tonight. How will you feel at seeing Christ when he returns? Will it be one of joy and welcome, or one of regret? Friends, as these songs are being sung, with two more and then we're done for the night, understand there is hope in Christ for anyone who would believe.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Church Miami. May God draw you nearer to Him through His Word. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit gracechurch.miami.